Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning health news you can use this week. Emergency medicine physician and associate chief medical officer for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Jeffrey Boehmer, is with us. Good morning, doctor. As if we didn't need more reminders, especially this week, to not go for the ultra-processed foods, there's a review just out about, they looked at more than 100 long-term studies, and what was the outcome here? I have an idea.
Yeah, there's no surprises here, Bob. It's bad. I think it's just a good reminder that, you know, processed foods in general are not good, but, you know, we're getting most of our calories. I think the study looked at it and said, I think Americans are getting almost 3/4 of their calories from ultra processed foods. I mean, the good thing about the processed foods is that it makes them, it increases the shelf life, makes them more available to folks and makes them easier to eat. You can take things on the run, but those packaged foods, like packaged snacks, frozen desserts, instant noodles that the college kids seem to love, including my own daughter. They're not good. They really disrupt our gut microbes. So, you know, we always talk about that, how important that microbiology is in our intestinal tracts, and it really disrupts that, which leads to disruption of how we regulate our blood sugar, leads to increased inflammation. A lot of those additives that are in these foods, in the packaging chemicals that they use in them, really can cause a lot of inflammation in our bodies. And then, you know, we've probably all been a victim to that, how they, you know, these types of foods. We know that the certain chips that we know we just can't stop eating them, right? And it rewards those, that dopamine effect that rewards our brains when we leads that compulsive eating until we overeat these things. So obviously it's good to think about what you're eating and pull back a little bit and try to go for the whole foods when you can. And even a little bit more whole foods and less of these ultra processed foods can have a positive benefit.
You know, too bad we don't crave salads. I was reading something over the weekend about men eat comfort food when they're happy, women when they're feeling low. Because you know, it's not about hunger a lot of the times when you're snacking, right?
That's right. It's whatever fits your mood, and, you know, sometimes, and that actually intuitively makes some sense. And, you know, I think it's our moods are driven by what we eat, and what we eat kind of drives our mood. Yeah. It really is it's sort of a catch-22. So we just have to be intentional about how we approach our diets and kind of sort of, you know, check your mood at the door and really think about what you're reaching for in the cupboard or the refrigerator.
We're all reading ingredient labels more, and this can be tricky because you see natural sugar as an ingredient, but there was a report, I think it was a heart surgeon who was talking about this, he had a list of low sugar fruits, because some fruits are better than others for you as far as the sugar content, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, and one of the things I've made a change in my life, because I've read about this quite a bit, is the bananas. You know, whenever I reach for the banana in the physician lounge, I always reach for the green ones because they're a lot lower in sugar. They're better with, in terms of our digestion. They're better for our guts. They have those resistant starches. They haven't reached their sort of stable sugar content yet, so they have less sugar in them. But yeah, I think the ones in this article, I think, make a lot of sense. He talks about citrus fruits, tangerines, for instance. Grapefruit's a great example, that have high vitamin C, have those really gut-friendly flavonoids. One of my favorites are berries, particularly blueberries, because there's high in fiber and antioxidants, so they're, you know, great for cellular health, great for hearts, and great for just protection of inflammation in our bodies. But I think the what's top of my list, and the several that he talked about there, the one I love to reach for are avocados. I think they are the superfood of fruits here, and a lot of people don't maybe think about avocados being a fruit, but they definitely are, and they are virtually sugar-free, have the healthy fats in them, and they're really rich in fiber. And if you ever if you eat avocados, you'll probably notice that it tends to make you feel a little fuller. So it has an after effect that causes us to eat less. So lots of great options there. But you know, the green bananas, kiwis, passion fruit's another good one. And olives, which another one that people don't think about being a fruit, but is a fruit, are rich in those polyphenols and monounsaturated fats. Those polyphenols are, again, good for our gut health and actually are very, very low in sugar as well.
I'm going to remember your tip on green bananas. Yeah. Although, well, you get to a certain age, and people will tell you, don't buy the green bananas, but I'm not going to listen to them, thanks to you.
That's right. Yeah, I would go for the green.
With emergency medicine physician and Associate Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Jeffrey Bomer. There has been much written and said about the connection between oral health and your heart. And it's hard to believe, though, that a root canal might help. Doctor?
Yeah. Yeah, this will maybe get you into the endodontist office maybe a little bit quicker if your dentist recommends. But yeah, I mean, it's to your point, Bob, oral health really it's not cosmetic. It really is more foundational to our overall wellness than I think we used to think. So this was the study that just came out. I think it was a Journal of Translational Medicine, not a huge journal, but it wasn't a huge study. It came out of the United Kingdom, but they looked at patients that had root canals, and I think there was only about 65 patients, but still a decent number. And they followed those patients over a couple of years and saw that overall they had statistically significant reductions in their blood sugar levels, cholesterol, and fatty acid levels. And I think when I read this, it makes intuitive sense. I mean, we talk about inflammation all the time, and that kind of chronic inflammation in our bodies, whatever that may be coming from, leads to breakdown in parts of our body. And you know, the heart is one of those things. And so it makes sense that we have the inflammation. You know, a lot of that, we talk about the heart because of inflammation does to our ability to regulate cholesterol, ability to regulate sugar in our bodies. And so I think what happens is that chronic inflammation from the infection, from that those abscesses that help that develop above our teeth, leads to chronic inflammation. Some of those bacteria can sneak out into our bloodstream, and our bodies do a good job of fighting those off. But that chronic inflammation is really causing havoc on our bodies. So not a surprise to see this result. But yeah, I think it's it just sort of points to the fact that our dentists are probably helping our overall health more than just making us have nice shiny white or pearly white teeth.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to necessarily get a root canal, but don't forget about that cleaning appointment. You need to do that.
That's right. Yeah.
There's a new study on fluoride, and it's good, isn't it? It's definitely one that gives ammunition to the folks arguing that fluoride is not a bad thing.
Yeah. I mean, this study was a bit relatively large, looked at 27,000 Americans. I think it was in Minnesota. It was an observational study over several years. I think followed some of these folks they followed them up to the age of 60, and they found that at the levels that are recommended to be placed in our drinking water, that these folks actually had, those that were exposed had this sort of optimal level of fluoride had during their childhood, and they noticed that even as the longer they were exposed to it, the better they did. They had no evidence of any cognitive decline or any bad effects on or adverse effects on their brains at all. So I think what this study looked at is, if you look at if we're getting the optimal level of fluoride in our drinking water, you know, compared to the study that came out earlier this year where they were looking at higher levels, you know, sort of like comparing, you know, I think a good example was, you know, if there's a medicine we know that's going to be beneficial for us, but we study it at toxic levels, well, yeah, you're going to see bad effects on us, right? And that's kind of what that study that came out earlier this year that the government produced that showed that this was, you know, that we're looking at higher levels. Of course, it's going to probably have a bad effect. But at lower levels, I think, you know, with a very large cohort of people here, we saw that it actually didn't have any bad effects. In fact, it looked to actually have some positive effects on people's brains. So probably more to come, but I think it's definitely reassuring that I think this health initiative that's been here since the 1940s is probably a good thing. We probably shouldn't abandon it.
Yeah. Too much of anything, not a good thing. And
that's right.
Finally, I think it's an FCC requirement. Any feature on health that you do on TV or radio now has to include what to eat and not to eat at the Thanksgiving table. So let's talk about this. And I was looking at the latest on this. And actually, you know, if you just stick to turkey and sweet potatoes, you're fine. And
yeah,
even pumpkin isn't bad.
No, but I mean, I guess where are you going to eat pumpkin except probably the pumpkin pie, right? So
yeah, that's the problem with that.
That's the problem, right? So, but yeah, you're right. Turkey, you know, I think it's all about kind of keeping that, trying to keep it kind of colorful, right? So turkey doesn't have a lot of color, but even the sweet potatoes do, the greens do. So get some greens, get some sweet potatoes on there. I think you'll be in good shape. You know, I think those are probably the two healthiest things that you're going to probably have on the plate. Some people will use apples. Sometimes they'll stuff the turkey with apples. Those, you know, apples, as we didn't talk about in the fruit segment here, but they have those polyphenols as well. You know, they have some fiber and the pectins for gut health. So those are good. But yeah, I think if you just keep the plate colorful, and I think, really what's probably most important, Bob, at Thanksgiving is just portion control, right? I think the order how you eat does influence how much you eat. So I always recommend, if you're really trying to watch your portions, go to the greens first, go to the fiber first. That'll kind of fill you up a little bit. Switch to your protein. That'll fill you up a little bit more. And then you're less likely to eat the stuff that's rich in carbohydrates, and you'll probably eat that in a lot more moderation. You should be in good shape.
Yeah, and don't starve yourself before the Thanksgiving get-together.
Right.
And
never a good idea.
Probably a good time to remind people about leftovers. Get them in the fridge or the freezer ASAP, right?
Yeah. Don't let them sit around. So I think they say generally 2 hours is the max. Get them in within 2 hours, and don't let it go more than a few days. So 3-4 days at the most. I mean, I know a lot of fridges will get packed after Thanksgiving, and they'll sit there for a week or two. And, you know, the sniff test is not a good way to check if something's bad or not. Give it 3 or 4 days and call it quits. Throw it out if you haven't eaten it by then.
Yeah. Smell this. I love it when you think for sure, oh, this food is spoiled. And the first thing you do is find somebody in the family and you say, here, taste this. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, Dr.
You
Bomer,
too,
and thanks as always. Talk to you again.
Thanks for having me.